Tonight's going to be a little bit different with the rest of the time here. Brother Jason is going to come in just a few minutes after. I think, Ryan, you're singing for us tonight. Oh, Ryan and Tony? Okay, come on, y'all get ready to sing here together. And then when they are done, I'm going to give Brother Jason some time. I told him to take his time. I'm no rush for him to get done. I have a few things I want to say, but I want to give him some time tonight to express his heart and to say whatever God has put on his heart for this evening, okay? So we'll enjoy the song, and then Brother Jay, it'll be yours.
Lost and dying in this world today. Have you heard their crying, or do you turn away? The harvest now is plenteous, but the laborers are few. God needs some willing vessels to be used. Here am crimson flow. Is it too late for caring? Does Jesus really say? Are we truly praying for the blind to find their way? Little children are falling into a burning hell. Will anyone hear the calling to go and tell? Here am I will go. I will reach the lost untold. I will give. Crimson flow. For my Savior died on that old rugged cross. He thought of me when he counted the cost. How can I say that I love him if I don't reply? Here am I will go. I will reach the lost untold. Crimson flow. Here am I.
Here am I.
Here am I.
Here am I.
Savior, here am I.
Here am I.
Thank you, Brother Ryan and Tony, two fabulous men, a fabulous Sunday school class upstairs, Beacons of Light. Praise the Lord. It's a blessing. You know, we're going to be in Judges chapter 6, verse 1 and 11 to 16. And while I turn there, I was thinking about some highlights of my past 6 years being here, and some humorous ones at that to kind of make you laugh and keep myself focused if I could. But I remember when my first week here, we just started teen church. Brother Don was here. Brother Jeff was up there. And Ms. Payne, I had just met Mrs. Payne, and she had never heard me sing. And she's probably thinking, he's a youth pastor, he can sing. So I get up there, and Brother Don had not gone up there yet, so I was going to handle the singing. Big mistake. But so she's going to sing the special. And before that, I sang Father Abraham, or some great godly song we're going to sing. And I went to open my mouth to sing, and I saw her look like, I'm going to get a blessing tonight from Brother Jason's singing. And as the words went out of my mouth and I was way off key and glass broke, I saw her turn to a lovely shade of green as she was ready to vomit, saying, "He can't sing!" I was like, "Praise the Lord, I can't." So that's a lesson. I also remember a time that 3 years ago, if you remember, before we had this wonderful contraption, we had that thing on carts. You push the, we're in 2011 now, praise the Lord, we upgraded. We even got U-verse, praise God. But we had the cart we had to pull out, and I was responsible for using the clicker. And every time we had a presentation, I had to go up there and click the monitor thing so it would come on the screen. And for whatever reason, me, I forgot the clicker. So we're ready to have a presentation. We're all sitting there, and the guys are up there waiting for the screen to come on. I'm sitting there thinking, man, who's the dumbbell who forgot to bring the clicker? Oh, man, it's me, and I'm running out there, going upstairs singing, I'm fired, I'm dead. And it's over. I come downstairs, the preacher singing a song, praise the Lord. I'm not fired, praise God. So that was good, but I praise God for a great church that allowed me and my family to be at, and I'm thankful for Faith Baptist Church. You folks have been so good to me. And I love you very much, and I'm going to miss you. I'm not dying, so I keep telling myself I'm only living 4 hours away. But it's going to be different next week. I know it will be. It probably won't hit me until I'm on the road driving down to Quincy when I realize, man, we're not coming back here as an assistant pastor anymore. But I praise the Lord where He's bringing us. It's not a bad thing what's happened to me. God says, if I like to call it, graduate me to the next level, maybe bring me to pastor a church in Quincy. I'm excited. I can't wait. I'm looking forward to it, but I thank you folks for how good you've been to me. And let me, before I continue, let me just say thank you for those of you who helped out last Saturday and stuff in those bags. I was kind of limited, obviously. I couldn't do a lot. Brother Caleb was tremendous. I know a couple of you took bags home and did them in your spare time. Brother Toby did them in his sleep, I think. He got them all done. But thank you for all you folks who helped stuff flyers and bags. I think we got all 18,000 flyer stuff. So if you're not doing anything, you want to come down to Quincy and help pass them out, God bless you. Come on. But Judges chapter 6, verses 1, and I'll kind of interject here and there. I won't be too long. And then in verses 11 to 16, it says, "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And verse 11 to 16 says, "And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah that pertained unto Joash to Abiezrite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then has all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And verse 16, the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And tonight, briefly, I'm going to talk to you on a simple topic of the Gideon effect. The Gideon effect of the word of prayer. Father, I love you and thank you, Lord. Thank you again for your word. I thank you for the good folks of this church. Thank you for the great preacher. They allowed me to serve under for the past 6 years. Father, I'm thankful for it. What a joy it's been to be here. Thank you for the good people. How blessed my family is. Thank you for the love that's shown my wife and my kids, Lord. And God, I thank you for your word, which certainly does change lives because your word changed my life, Father. I thank you for it. Lord, I pray you bless this message. Be with it, Lord. Also, we ask in your name. Amen. as you see in the story, one of the reasons why I love Gideon so much is because simply he faced a humongous problem, one that I don't think we could comprehend. Folks, he was going against an army that you couldn't count. In all the wars in history, there's never been an army that's been so outnumbered than Gideon was. It was amazing what he was facing. What I loved so much about Gideon was he never quit. He never quit. He didn't give up. Yeah, he was scared to death. Yeah, he went to situations, but he never quit. Now you might be... Now, this basically the interpretation or how this whole story plays out, he was faced with a problem. But I also think you can apply these verses to someone who's facing a big situation, like starting a church or something, a big situation, something good happens. Maybe you've been called to start a new bus route in Piatone, praise the Lord, Brother Rex, or maybe you've been started to start a Sunday school class or something big that in your mind is out of your control. Because in this situation, Gideon was facing a situation that was way out of his control. And if I could sum it up, do you know what I call a situation that someone faces that is out of their control and beyond their grasp to fix? I call that life. Because we've all been there before. We've all faced situations or problems where we couldn't, it was out of our control. I remember when God first called me to Quincy. I said, no, God, you got the wrong person. I can't sing. I can't do a lot of things. I'm like, why? You know, I want to stay here. I want to be here at Faith Baptist Church. When I came here 6 years ago, I didn't come here with necessarily wanting to leave. I came here to spend the rest of my life here until God started pricking my heart about a couple of years into it. But folks, when he first called me, man, I didn't want to go. I was like, Lord, you got the wrong person. I can't go. And Gideon was facing a humongous situation. And maybe you're there tonight. Maybe you're facing, maybe not a situation, but a problem. Maybe you have a relative who has cancer. You can't control that. Maybe a situation where you lost a loved one out of your control. You're going through a difficult time. Listen, this can help you because Gideon was going through a difficult time. Psalms 34:19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Folks, there's going to be many problems for a Christian. We're all going to face problems. But the verse ends, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Folks, I tell you, we're all going to face problems. And Gideon faced the big problem. Judges chapter 6, verse 5. It says, for they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude, for both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. So number one, the enemy, they couldn't count them. But number two, look, go back one verse to verse 4. And they encamped against them and has destroyed the increase of the earth, till thou come unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. Folks, number one, that you couldn't count the enemy, but number two, the enemy was trying to starve out Israel. Man, he was facing a humongous problem, a huge one, and he could not control it. On paper, the Israelites couldn't win this battle. It was unwinnable. There's no way. You add it up in your mind, you do the math, you put it together at the bottom, when you total up at the bottom, they were going to lose this battle. You've been there before, child of God. God, the money's not there. I don't know how I'm going to pay the bills. Lord, my wife, my husband has cancer. I don't know how to deal with this. Lord, this is going on. Or maybe a good thing happens. Lord, I'm going to start a church. I'm not capable of doing that. Or Lord, I'm supposed to start a bus route or do this or that. I don't know how I'm going to do it. And you run your fingers through your hair. You ever been there before? Gideon was there. And God got him through it. He can get you through it as well. So there's three things that Gideon faced. Two of them are kind of negatives or things that we've got to be careful of if we're facing a big situation or a big problem. And the third one, which I'm going to focus on the most, is the positive one. The first problem or the first negative that Gideon faced or will ever face in a big situation out of our control is simply put excuses. Judges 6:15 says, and he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. He was saying, God, you got the wrong man. He did not want to do what God had him to do. You ever been there before? But God, I can't do this. Why are you picking me? I'm not capable of doing the situation. I'm not here complaining. I'm not here throwing a pity party. I'm so excited. But I know I'm not capable of doing what God has me to do. I need to lean on him with all my strength. And I tell you what, child of God, when we realize we can't, then God can. That's a positive. That's a praise the Lord for it. But here, let me just say the problem, though. The problem is when I see people, I'll see a teenager, they feel God has a call in their life or something happens, they say, I can't do it. The problem starts when a person goes from saying, I can't, to I won't. Be careful of that. Be careful. Hey, when you say, I can't, God can, praise the Lord, man. He'll do a mighty work and you'll start seeing him do some things. I remember we started first going on deputation. I had no idea what it was like to be a missionary. I mean, I have so much respect for the missionaries, like all the stuff they go through, and I praise God for the great churches we've been to. We've been to so many great churches. But I tell you, it was a humongous task to do what we were doing. And I was like, I was thinking, God, this is way out of my control. I can't do this. But God would open doors. He would bless. He would confirmation. I'll give you one example. Pastor Dice down there in Pittsfield. He's being a big help. They're going to help us unload here tomorrow when we get to Quincy. And he called me about two weeks ago. And he said, Brother Jason, I was in Menards in Quincy. I was doing some shopping. And I happened to walk up to the register. And a lady who was at the register, she was checking me out. Checking me out. She was checking him out. He's a good-looking guy. All right. No. She was checking out the items he's going to purchase. There you go. Brother Dice is not going to help me tomorrow. He'll come to Quincy if he finds this out. But she was checking out his items at the register. Praise the Lord. And when she was checking out his items at the register, she happened, I don't know why she knew this, but she said, sir, are you a preacher? He goes, yes, I am. And she goes, you have a church here in Quincy? He goes, no, I'm in Pittsfield. And she goes, you know, my dad and I used to go to a Baptist church in Quincy. Not there anymore. Do you know any good Baptist churches in Quincy? He said, yeah, actually I got one starting here in Easter. I'll give you the website address. Man, it's a blessing. And I remember when he called me, that came confirmation. I was like, man, that's so exciting. I don't want to leave, folks, but I'm excited to leave. You know, God has been so good, and I thank you for it. But, man, so be careful of the excuses. They can make you quit for what God wants you to do. Number two, the second thing that can be a negative if you're not careful is the excursions. Go to Judges chapter 7. Look at verse 2 and 3 and 5 to 6. Someone, Gideon, was tempted to make excuses why he couldn't do what God had before him. Number two was the excursions, or things don't go according to my plan. Judges 7, verse 2 and 3 says, the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. Now therefore, go to proclaim him in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. Look at verse 5 and 6. So he brought down the people into the water, and the Lord said unto Gideon, everyone that lappeth of the water with his tongue as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, every one that boweth down upon his knees to drink. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men, but all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink. Now here's this, let me paint the scene for you, folks. Gideon realizes he only got 32,000 men to work with before these verses came to the picture in his what was going on in his life. And he's like, I have 32,000 men. I'm gonna put 10,000 over here. We're gonna take them from the left. I have 10,000 over here. We're gonna take them from the right. Another 12,000. We're gonna take them right up the middle. He probably had a game plan of how he's gonna try to do his best to defeat the enemy. But God says, wait a minute, time out, Gideon, let me change your plans. I don't want you using 32,000 men, I want you using 300 men. And folks, how many times do we say, okay, this is my plan in my life, I promise I'm going to pay these bills off, and next year I'll be debt-free, everything will be good, or the cancer will be gone this year, or this will happen next year. We plan things out in our mind, but then usually 9 times out of 10, things don't go according to our plans. And the problem is we're tempted to quit. Man, it didn't work. I did everything I could. God, why is it working? What's going to happen? Satan tried to stop you from reading your Bible. Man, I read my Bible, I'm praying, I'm going to church, Lord, but things aren't going according to what I want. So why? What's the use? Just trust God. God delivered him. God delivered Gideon. He had some excursions. He could have eaten. Some things went a different path, but he still stayed faithful. Isaiah 55:9 says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Folks, there's no way we can figure God out. So we just got to trust Him. Look, I don't know the answers to everything's going to happen now, Quincy, but I know I got to trust Him. I know He'll deliver. And folks, you don't know the situation that's going to happen in your life with things you're going through, but you just have to trust Him, knowing He'll take care of it. And by the way, He does every time. You know He does. Maybe not according to the way you want to, but He always meets our needs. His grace is sufficient, His word says. And number three, my last point here, which is the best point of all, the positive, or the point that I love the best. The third thing Gideon experienced, number one was excuses, number two was excursions, but number three was encouragement. Let me go to Judges chapter 7, verses 13 to 15. It says, when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow and said, behold, I dreamed a dream. And lo, a cake of barley tumbled into the host of Midian and came unto a tent and smote it that it fell and overturned it that the tent lay along. And his fellow answered and said, this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. For into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. And verse 15, and it was so when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and interpretation thereof, that he worshipped and returned into the host of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. Child of God, you've been there. I know you've been there. I've been there before. When you're discouraged, when things aren't going according to your plans, when you know it's not working out according to your timetable, you've got excursions, things are going in a different direction than what you want. You're wanting to make excuses for why you can't do it. And you're ready to throw in the towel. You're ready to quit. But something happens where you get encouraged. Gideon was ready to, I don't know if he was ready to quit. I have no idea. But he probably was discouraged by this point. His 32,000 army went down to 300 men. How am I going to defeat these people? And all of a sudden, someone hears a dream that he's going to win. And he knew, wait, God's going to give me the victory. Someone encouraged Gideon. And this is my final point. I'm going to stop here and I'll be done tonight. What I love most about this church is the encouragement I've received over the past 6 years. Look, we don't know when someone's going through a difficult time. It's easy to put a smile on the outside when we're hurting on the inside. That's easy to do, folks. You have no idea when someone puts an arm around you what it does for you. Or what it can do for somebody else. We have no idea when you speak a word of encouragement to somebody else, how it can lift them up, feel like they have wind beneath their wings. There you go. And how it can be a blessing and a help to them. I tell you what, folks, a great church is a church that can be an encouragement to each other and help and encourage one another. These past 6 years, folks, I'm thankful for how much you encouraged my wife. Ladies, I thank you for how good you've been to my wife and how kind you've been to her and my children. My kids love the people of this church. I know Brother Nemeth was so kind last week and had a broken foot, told me to walk upstairs. Praise the Lord. What an encouragement. Amen. Okay, Brother Nemeth. No, I'm just teasing there. But I can't tell you, I thank you so much for the encouragement you've been to me and the help you've been to me these past 6 years. Gideon, he faced a difficult situation. He could have quit. Things didn't go according to his plans. But when it really meant, when it really mattered, when he really was maybe discouraged, God encouraged him. We have no idea what an encouragement we can be to somebody else. And the biggest encouragement we have, if you're saved, is you're going to heaven someday. Because that's what it's about, folks. We're moving 4.5 hours away. I know it's not forever away. We'll be here every now and then to stop by, and especially during our Wildfires conference. But isn't that what it's all about as Christians? Telling other people about Jesus Christ, seeing souls saved. And yeah, we're going to move far away, kind of, sort of, and be far away we want to be necessarily from Bourbonnais. But I know that one day I'm going to heaven to Jesus Christ, and that's encouragement. That's a lot of encouragement that I need to know. If you're saved in this room, we'll all be in heaven for all eternity. And what a blessed encouragement that is. So I'm going to get a little challenged tonight. And again, thank you, folks, for a blessing you've been to my family and myself. I appreciate you. And what a blessing my preacher's been to me the past 6 years. I'm thankful for our pastor. We've been patient with an assistant pastor. I love you, preacher. And thankful for this church staff. Thankful for it. Appreciate Brother Caleb and the blessing he is, and encouragement and the zeal for souls. I don't know, and I am going too far here, brother, but maybe I don't know the friendship that Jonathan and David had. I don't know what that was like. They were so knit. I like to think maybe, brother, you and I have a friendship kind of like that. I appreciate all you folks being so good to us. Love you and thank you. God bless you. It's a word of prayer. Father, love you and thank you, Lord. So good to us, Father. God, thank you for your call you put on my life, because it's all about you, not about us. Thank you for saving my soul. Lord, I thank you for the story of Gideon. It was real. Lord, I get to heaven, I'd like to talk to him and see what he went through, the challenges and trials, and see what he was facing when he was there. But we know what happened in the end, how you delivered him, and you got him through an impossible situation. And there are times we're going to go through impossible situations, Lord. But we know that through your grace, you'll get us through it. Your grace is sufficient. Lord, I pray you do a mighty work in Quincy so only you can build the house. Love you and thank you, Lord. Also, we ask in your name.
I've been where he is tonight, and I can tell you about the pull of emotions. You're so excited to go on to the next phase in life, especially what God has called you to do, but it is a devastation to leave a place you love. And the thing that makes a place special is certainly not the geography of this area, but it is the people. And so I've been where he is, and I know what he feels tonight. And but what a blessing. Brother Jason, I'm going to ask Kelly if you would come up here just for a little bit. Kelly, if you would, with Jason, if you don't mind, just for a minute. And we have 3 or 4 folks that are just going to come and make a, 2 or 3 are going to come make a brief presentation. And then I want to finish up with just a few comments of my own tonight. We're going to start with Linnea Minkowski. Linnea and Scott, of course, Brother Jason's brother. Linnea, you come if you would, please. And do you need to get, it's up here. Okay, great. All right, Caleb's here. Great. Come on, Linnea.
This is for you. Yes, the Sunshine Basket, and many of the women from the church helped contribute. That actually only represents a small amount of the presents that are still waiting for you. The idea is that you open one present a day while you're in Quincy to encourage you. And as you open them, know that you're missed and you're loved. But most of all, know that we're praying for you and we're behind you guys. And we're really excited about this new step that the Lord has for you.
I appreciate that, ladies. And this is just a small representation of all the things that have been turned in for Kelly. And so, Kelly, that's from their heart to you, okay? And God bless you. You can go sit down if you'd like to, and then we'll leave your husband up here to stay up here, okay? Thank you. And I'll say something about these folks in just a moment. Now, Curtis Heyman is going to come. Brother Curtis, where are you sitting tonight? Oh, right down here. Come on, Curtis, if you would. Brother Jay, step up.
Well, Brother Jason, besides the party that we had upstairs for you, the teenagers and I got together and wanted to get some that hopefully you can use as you're starting your new church in Quincy. So, we got you. Bye-bye. Engraved in the front says Pastor Jason Bogoski. And on the inside, if you look, there are the names are many of the students and the young people that you've influenced over the 6 years that you've been our youth pastor here. And we just want to say thank you to you and your family. And how much we appreciate and hopefully I'm going to miss you.
Brother Jason, it has been a great 6.5 years working with you. I remember the first time that I heard about you was when I was sewing with Brother Ben. And he said, we're about ready to have a guy that is really, really crazy come on staff. I said, man, I'm really looking forward to that. We'll have a great time. And lo and behold, a couple of months later, the office was split in half by a divider. I don't know what the divider was there for, because it didn't help nothing, brother. I tell you, paper wads went over the divider, and were both very, I guess, loud. Phone calls, if you called him during that time for a private conversation, I tell you what, it was just, whoa! He could hear everything I was saying, I could hear everything he was saying, and then the good fellowship in that office, brother. We've had many, many hours in that office together, and then split it. And then I remember we were stuck in the same classroom together, the same room divided by a thin dividing curtain there, I guess. And I think they thought that was going to keep the noise down or something. But our class members got to hear two lessons for the next several months. Good memories there. But, brother, I believe the thing I'm going to miss the most is the Tuesday night conversations that we had. And I believe the thing I'm going to miss, brother, is just talking about the ministry with you and people that we love, people that we dream together for. And I believe I'm going to miss the most the prayer meetings that you and I have had on our own and meeting in the office when our hearts are burned about a situation or brother or sister in Christ here at the church. But I'm going to miss you. I love you. And so do several of the young people have brought some of the pictures together and wrote some letters to you. And they have been put together in a scrapbook form. And Becca Thomason has put many hours of time into putting this together. And we want to present that to you, brother. And I hope this scrapbook just captures a few of the memories that we've had together. And your great brother, thank you so much for the fellowship that we've had in the last 6 years.
David, you're here. It's been a blessing to see God knit the hearts of Jason and Caleb really close together. They started here just within months of each other 6 years ago, and they have become good buddies. The men of the church wanted to give you a gift. And so we got together, and some money has been turned in. I think that what has come in may be more than what this check is for. We've got to add it all up. But we got wind that you would like to have. This is personal. This is for you, okay? We got wind that you would like to have. No, it's not a new car. You could get this. If you want to put it into a new car, you could buy. They have a Hot Wheels that might work, okay? But no, we got wind that you would like to have a gun, and particularly a pistol. And so this money is for you. And if there's more to come in, we'll get it to you. This money is for you. And rather than us buy it, have to register it in one of our names and transfer it to your name. I think we live in Illinois. After the service this morning, one fella came. I was shaking hands down here. The fella came and he said, "A gun." I said, "What? A gun? I haven't been able to think all morning because of a gun." I'm looking at this guy like, "Oh, boy." And so he said, "You're going to buy him a gun." I said, "Yeah. It's part of our Second Amendment rights, and we can." And he wants one. I can't believe it. I said, "Yeah, in the Bible they had weapons." I said, "Abraham had 318 of them." And he said, "Well, it was dangerous back then." I said, "It's more dangerous now." He said, he just went, "A gun." A gun. He said, "We're going to buy him a gun." Yeah, and he's got the right to do it, and it's biblical. "Well, I just always have thought he was my protection." I said, "Him and the 357. It's a good thing." My poor fella has probably had a nervous breakdown this whole afternoon. I thought, boy, oh boy. The gospel light draws a lot of strange bugs. But anyway, he was some upset about that. I don't think he gave anything, so. But you take this and you get yourself a pistol and have a good time with it, okay? Because we love you, buddy. Amen. God bless you. Very good. All right. Now, we're going to, I on purpose want to be short tonight because I want to give you folks some time to come and say goodbye to Jason and Kelly. And so let me just read for you 1 Samuel 20, 16 through 18, where the Bible says, "So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, 'Let the Lord even require it at the hand of David's enemies.'" Now we're picking up mid-story here, so bear with me. "Then Jonathan said to David, 'Tomorrow is the new moon, and thou shalt be missed, because thy seat will be empty.'" And this was a tumultuous time in the nation of Israel's history. They had some real enemies around them, particularly the Philistines. They worse than that, they had trouble within their own country. Their leadership was unraveling. Saul was their king, you know that. He was eaten up with jealousy, with envy, with hatred. And so the king, toward the king in waiting, David. And to complicate matters for Saul, his own son Jonathan loved David. They were soulmates. They were soulmates. Now Saul had already attempted to kill David and was waiting for another opportunity. A feast with King Saul was approaching, and David would be there, was supposed to be there. Jonathan was supposed to be there. Others would be there. And they were expected to be a part of that feast. Jonathan and David were meeting the day before the feast. And David said to Jonathan, he said, "I'm not coming." He said, "I'm not going to the feast." He said, "Your dad's, in so many words, you read between the lines, dad's trying to kill me. So there's no sense in my being there." Well, Jonathan wasn't so sure that dad was still mad and trying to kill David. So they agreed that David would miss the feast and Jonathan would try to gauge Saul's attitude toward David, and then he would come back and meet up with Jonathan and bring him up to date, kind of filling him in on how his daddy's attitude and state of mind was. And in verse 18, Jonathan expressed his heart to David, and he said, "Thou shalt be missed, because thy seat will be empty." Now, nothing about that story, really, I am making application tonight from nothing in that story other than that one thing that Jonathan said to David when he said, "Thou shalt be missed because thy seat will be empty." Verse 17, Jonathan shows us that Jonathan spoke this from a heart of love for David because he loved him, for he loved him as he loved his own soul. So he said, David, he said, tomorrow is the new moon, and thou shalt be missed, because thy seat will be empty. And tomorrow, Brother Jason and his family will move to Quincy and to start Grace Baptist Church, and we can rightly say tonight, thou shalt be missed, because thy seat will be empty. Never easy to say goodbye to someone you love. In fact, I wrote that in the bulletin today. I don't like to use the word goodbye. with our family, with others, I like to say see you later. Goodbye sounds too final. And even though it is only 4.5 hours away, as he said, and we will see them again, you know, sometimes being 4.5 hours away is like being 1,000 miles away as far as seeing each other. They won't be among us in person as they have been for these last 6 years. And they will be missed. They will be. Brother Jason's seat will be empty for the right reasons. And really for the only reason. The will of God. The will of God. You know, when you have missions conferences, and when you start something like Reseeding Illinois, and by the way, Brother Chambers is running in the high teens, low 20s. They're struggling, but they're alive. Brother Houston has had some encouraging things recently. He lost a couple of families, but he's just got some families in. Marty and Heather Montgomery still working there with Brother Jeremy. He's still going. Brother Barr had 90-something last Sunday. They have a choir. They have. He's just about ready to go full-time in the church. Just about there. Brother Tommy McMurtry is running in the 30s. They had 6 first-time visitors last Sunday. They had 12 the Sunday before that. They're having 20-something in church on Sunday night. So all 4 of those churches, they're not tearing the woods, they're not burning the woods up yet, but they're all established and they're doing okay. And they're alive and doing okay. And when you start something like Reseeding Illinois, you know, you kind of know in the back of your mind that God very well could reach down and call some of your own away. I was not dumb to that when we started Reseeding Illinois and the emphasis on church planting here in the state of Illinois. In the back of my mind, I said, you know, there's several guys on staff here and young men in our church, and it might be that God will move some of them to other cities in Illinois. And you know, when people start leaving your church for Oriel, Russia, and Madagascar, and Quincy, you know, then it starts to hit real close to the heart, and you start seeing these people that you love leave. And Brother Jason and Kelly, as they go to Quincy, we must have the attitude of appreciation. Grateful for the years we had with those folks while they were here these 6 years. Grateful. Grateful. You know, you never can have enough time with people that you don't see often. My mother has helped over the years. I would go to see Mom and Dad for maybe 9 days, and that first day I was there, I would say, man, time's flying so fast, we only have 8 days left. And she would say, Terry, I've learned not to worry about it. The fact that it's only 9 days, I've learned to enjoy every day that we have together. And, you know, I appreciate for this, the 6 years that God gave us. Grateful for the opportunity to know them, to love them, and to know their love and their friendship. Their children are precious. Their children are young. They're well-behaved, good kids. They're kids, but they're young and they're precious. I will miss them greatly. Kelly, from a pastor's perspective, has been an outstanding assistant pastor's wife. I was counting up the number of fires I had to put out the last 6 years that were caused by Kelly. I didn't get to one. I appreciate that. Not one. I never had to call her in. I'm not close as far as hanging out with Kelly and stuff like that, and you know that. But yeah, I mean, it's just from I've just seen her around the church, but I've never had to deal with a problem that she's been a part of. Never. You know, the Bible says where there is no wood, the fire dies. And I don't think she's been a hotbed. I don't think she's been a stack of kindling for gossip and talk that is negative or critical. And I appreciate that. And from time to time, I've received some very kind notes from her. She's been a blessing. And then Brother Jason, you know, you won't meet. And I can say this because, and I think I know these guys that work with him, with me, will tell you that you won't meet a more sincere servant of God with a deep love for people. All deep love for people. I remember when we started the Sunday school classes, we broke all the adult classes up, and Jason was given the Beacon of Lights class, and we encouraged all the young 20-something-year-old couples to go to that class. And it was just sometime after that, one of the men in the church, a good man, came to me in a good way, in the right spirit, and he said, Pastor, he said, I'm just struggling in Sunday school. I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, just getting used to Brother Jason's style of teaching. And he said, I don't know if he wanted to move to another class. I don't know. But I looked at him and I said, why don't you give it a few weeks? Why don't you give it a little time? And just pray. Just give Brother Jason a little time. And I just kind of went on our way, and purposely I didn't ask him for several weeks. And then several months passed, and I said to him one time, I said, hey, let me ask you a question. I said, how's that Sunday school class? Here's what I knew. And he said, it's fine, it's great. When I asked him to give Brother Jason some time, here's what I knew. I knew he would get a Bible lesson. Every man is different in how he approaches the Scripture and how he teaches. But I knew if his teaching didn't win him over, his heart would. And I can tell you, couples that are in his Sunday school class, you've had a teacher who's prayed for you and who has borne your burdens. And at prayer meeting on Wednesday mornings at 6, at 7:30 up in the Spanish room, when we take requests, many times your names would come up from his Sunday school class. And a deep love for people. Deep love for people. And that's why I believe he'll do well in Quincy. Because I know he loves folks. And Brother Jason, remember this, brother. When you move to Quincy, you start getting folks in. You've loved these people for 6 years. And it's not going to be the same with people you've loved for 6 weeks. Comparing that love to folks you've loved for 6 years, it takes time. But love will always win out. And where love is felt, the message is heard. It always is. And so, these folks have been just a great blessing. He and I met at college in Elgin. He was different from some of the others that were in Bible college. He had a purpose for being there. He didn't lay out of class. He didn't come late. And he worked a job that kept him out till 2 o'clock in the morning, I think. Close to that Caterpillar down in Aurora, right? And so he had a long distance to drive. And I was drawn to him. He had a servant's heart, and he had a great spirit. Great spirit. The college was in McHenry in those days. So I'd drive the hour and a half or the hour and 40 minutes to where the college is there on 31 and 90, and then drive 40 minutes more north on 31 to McHenry. It was a long haul. And they used to stop at Alexander's there for breakfast and meet Hannah. After she'd gotten married to Jason, Hannah and I would have breakfast there. I didn't buy his, but I bought hers. And so she would come. And so we had a good time. So for whatever reason, one week, I think, Joyce, you went with me. And you were going to go with Hannah or something. And so she needed a car. But I had to get from Alexander's in Elgin to McHenry. And so you lived down there in Elgin. And so I said to him in class, I said, hey, man, can you drive right by Alexander's restaurant on your way to school? I said, yeah. He said, yes, sir, I drive right by there. I said, could you pick me up at Alexander's? I said, I'll be there with Hannah eating breakfast, and if you could pick me up and drive, I could ride with you. Oh, he went bananas. He said, you can't imagine that, but he just did. He just flipped out. And so when he pulled in that Thursday and I came out, here, his car was all, spick and span, and here was a Dunkin' Donuts coffee. And he said, I got you a coffee. And he loves Dunkin' Donuts coffee. So we rode to McHenry together, and we did that a couple, three times when you were in school there. And then the time came for us to meet somebody here at the church. And so God began to speak to my heart. And one day we met in the cafeteria, and I asked him to come and serve here. And he accepted, and now they're off to Quincy. That quick. It's fast, isn't it? I said this morning, God doesn't give you your children so you can keep them. And The truth of the matter is, God doesn't give all the church give you church members to keep all of them. God calls some away. 1 year ago, God called Jason. I remember when he came in the office and talked to me about starting a church in Illinois and what God had done at last year's missionary conference. And so for this year, he's been making preparations and plans. And so tonight, we say to Brother Jason and his family, see you later. They will be back from time to time. And I hope that in the years to come, if you get a chance to go on vacation, you're down in that area on a weekend, that you'll get to stop into a service at the Great Grace Baptist Church and see him and Kelly. So Brother Jason, with a full heart, thankful for these past 6 years, we send you and Kelly away and your children with our hopes and our prayers and our blessings as you follow God's call and you do God's will. Next Sunday, you will be there, or you'll be somewhere in that area in church, and we will be here, and you'll be missed because your seat will be empty. But you'll always have a place in our hearts. That will never change. Ever. I got a text from Brother Don tonight, right before the service. He said, "You're sending away a good man tonight. Wish I could be there." I texted him back and I said, "Sending away two good men in less than 3 months is a little tough. Nothing easy about this. But God's work must go forward and God's will must be done. And it's a great privilege for us to be the sending church for Brother Jason and his family and the Grace Baptist Church in Quincy. Amen." I think it goes without saying that we love this brother. Appreciate him and his wife and their children. I want Jason to have you come down here, if you would, please. If you need to bring your crutch, I want to have Kelly join you down here. I'd like to have prayer for you. And then I'd just like to give the church time to come by and let them love on you and just tell you goodbye a little bit tonight. So Kelly, if you'll come and stand with him, if you don't mind. And I want to pray that we'll give the church an opportunity to come by and send you off with a big blessing. And our Father in heaven, never knew when I started the ministry 30-something years ago how deep ties would become. I thank you tonight for the privilege of crossing paths with this couple, for the privilege of serving as a co-laborer with Jason and this great church, these great people. God, I pray as he leaves, takes his family, that you will provide. And I believe you will. And I know that you will enable. And I know that you'll lead him. I pray that you'll use them. God, may your will be accomplished in that area as far as the church goes. And may some people be reached. May the gospel be preached. May Christians be edified and the lost saved and Jesus exalted. Truly, Lord, with all of our hearts, we believe that the separation period won't be long. We all believe, God, that in any day we can hear the trumpet and Jesus will return for us. And until that time comes, there will be these occasions where we must say, "See you later." People we love, we'll have to separate and move on. Would you bless this family, use them, help them. Thank you for the privilege of having them here these 6 years. God, use them. They're little children. I pray that you'll help all the little kids, Hadley and Caleb and Lindsay and Jacob. Bless them as they make this adjustment. And we'll thank you for it, God. Thank you for loving us. Bless us tonight in a special way, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to stand, and this is it. You're dismissed. I want to give you time. I didn't want to go terribly long to come by and speak with Jason and Kelly. Ladies, you can play just a couple of verses of a song, and you just make your way down and speak to them. And we'll see you on Wednesday night. If not, those of you that are helping him tomorrow, 8 o'clock, I think in there, Brother Jason, 8 o'clock at his house. God bless you.